Are you ready to advance your career, hone your skills, or explore new vocational paths without spending thousands of dollars to further your education? Skillfeed.com features over 65,000 video tutorials to keep your creative and technical skills current. Choose from long courses or short tutorials called Skill Snacks, featuring courses on business, web development, education, finance, leadership, photography, and more. Get your 30-day free trial now. Log on to skillfeed.com/radio. That's skillfeed.com/radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
One rap. Hidden beach. What?
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome to yet another, what we believe is going to be another exciting episode of the PRF Table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also hosting is Brother Feaster. And again, we're just delighted that you've taken the time out of your schedule to sit down at the table with us. We truly thank God for the hundreds of listeners that sit down at the table with us in the various forms, whether it's over the telephone, whether it's online, whether it's going to listen to the archives after the show airs on Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tonight we have another show where if you've been with us for any period of time, you know that we're talking about giving. And giving is one of those topics that is a very touching subject to some. And to some of us, as Brother Feaster said, it's a very simple topic. However, even though it's a simple topic, it seems to be a topic that is either not discussed or not discussed in the proper manner. Now, we can all say that. What do you mean, Brother Dunlap, when you say not in the proper manner? That can be something really, really subjective, and I'll say you're right. So what we want to do is make sure that we're just touching on various different aspects of giving and allow God to touch your heart in a way that only God can do. All we can do is put the information out and pray that it gets to where it needs to be. So with that, my good friend, my brother, Master Sergeant, First Sergeant, Warren Feaster, how you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Been a long week. Took a little time off today and to rest and prepare for tonight's show. Ready to talk about giving.
And we want to say, we just ask for your prayers for Sister Adia, more especially, and also myself. Sister Adia probably will not be with us tonight at the table. My aunt, which is her mother, passed away last Friday, so the funeral is tomorrow in Fayetteville, North Carolina, so we definitely covered your prayers. And just ask that, you know, God just be with all of us as we go through what we have to go through tomorrow and then from the years and or from the days and months to come after that. So, Brother Feaster, what we're talking about tonight is we're continuing on with purposeful giving. And I really thought about it and really tried to see how God wanted to lead us in this subject for tonight. And what God really laid on my heart was, as we're talking about purposeful giving, one of the areas where I think there needs to be a little conversation about is purposeful giving in the church. Brother Feaster, for all of you who are listening, Brother Feaster said, this may be one of these shows that we have not so many callers and not so many people that want to speak about it openly because of the nature of what we're talking about. And I said, you know what, I think is going to be different. So we're going to see by the end of tonight's show, Brother Feaster, if you're right or if I'm right, and we'll see what the people want to do. Tonight's show, let's just talk about it, just go ahead and get right into it. I have a question, and this is what I thought about. The first question that I had was, would you give more if you had more? Would you give more if you had more? And I think that's a question that I'm prepared to answer. I don't know if you're prepared to answer, Brother Feaster, but I think that's just a general question as we start dealing with this in the church, because there are a lot of people that are in the church or associated with the church that I've heard say, I wish I had more so I could give more. Again, this may be only my context, but I think a lot of people have that mindset as well, Brother Feaster, and get ready to jump in, if you will, that if I had more money, then I would give more money. I'm not giving enough. I don't have enough to give. I'm tapped out. I'm stretched too thin. So as we talk about the church, that's one of the central questions that I wanted tonight's show to be about, is would you give more if you had more? And to kind of let everybody have that thought or that question in the back of their mind. And then from there, Brother Feaster, I think in answering that question, one could first say to themselves, or we could say to ourselves, more of what? Because if we don't identify the what it is that we want to give, how can we say we would give more if we had more? So, Brother Feaster, I'm not trying to be too complicated and technical, and you know I'm not a deep brother. What'd you give? What do you say, Brother Feaster?
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna start this thing off on the right foot, not the left foot, being that I'm a soldier. I'm gonna start on the right foot. I really believe in most cases. Well, let me say it like this: that could be a cop out. That could be that statement right there. Could be a way of saying that I'm not going to rearrange what I have now to do anything more. So I'm going to need more so I can continue to do what I'm doing, regardless if it's anything worth maintaining or not. I'm not willing to, and I'm not willing to sacrifice what I'm doing now to do more. Not even do more. I'm not willing to sacrifice what I'm doing now to even assist. So it goes back to what I've been saying for the last 2 weeks when we're talking about giving. What's the motive behind it? Because there are too many different stories, too many examples, too many people out there that have proven over and over again that you can do more with less. I actually am more focused and dedicated with my college work, and my GPA was a whole lot higher when it was me, my wife, my daughter, my son, the church, my job, choir rehearsal, Bible study, church meeting, wife want to go out to eat, I want to go out to eat, you know, daughter got practice, son got school, kind of stuff like that. I found out that during that time, I had so less time that I did a lot more. But now that I'm a geographical bachelor, for y'all that don't know what that is, in the military, a lot of times the Army would take us places and we've been somewhere for a long time, or where we're going is not conducive of what our family needs are. So the decision is made that the soldier will go and take care of the military obligations while the family stays put. So I'm a geographical bachelor. With so much time on my hands that my GPA has gone down, I don't do half the stuff I used to do. I have so much free time, but yet I find nothing to do. So I really believe that in that context of that statement, what some people are saying is, you know what, I'm not willing to change anything that I got. I'm not willing to change anything different than what I'm doing. I want more so that I can do more. But truth of the matter is, if you're really sincere and really service about that servitude or that calling or that gift or that desire, then you will make a way with what you have to prove to me or to anyone else or even to yourself that you put your money where your mouth is, or you put your talent where your mouth is, or your time where your mouth is. Because if we really have that desire, I mean, one of the things that we say all the time, and you see it on Facebook all the time, and people say it, if you really want to do something, you'll find time to do it. If not, you'll find an excuse. So I really believe, JR, that is some people, that's a crutch. That's a means to say, you know, I'm comfortable with what I'm doing. I just ain't got that desire, that passion. So I'm going to use this cliche to make everybody think that I want to do more, but I just ain't got the time, or I don't have the money, or I don't have the resources, or I don't know the right people. So I'm going to start off on that foot.
Okay, so let me, you said you're going to start off on the right foot, so let me start off on the left foot. So let's say everything that you're saying is true. No disagreement from you on there. But what about from a church perspective, as the church is asking for more and more and more of the members? I think that may be a valid question for them to ask, or even for us to ask. Well, in my church, it's not really like that. But I have been in churches and have been around church long enough to know that there is a constant asking from the members,
right,
by pastoral leadership about giving more, giving more, giving more. But I never hear what is it that they're talking about giving.
Right.
I never hear that. So often what I hear, and I, like I said, I've heard, you know, my ministerial colleagues and just Christian brothers and sisters talk about giving from a singular perspective when it comes to giving to the church or when it comes to giving to God. So tonight, I just want us to, I'm just saying us, all of us who are engaged in this conversation and dialogue tonight, to be respectful and understand through faith, I would say, that whatever those reasons are, that individuals have a singular mindset of giving to the church. Whatever that singular mindset is or whatever that singular perspective is, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, whether it's indifferent, whether it's selfish, whether it's out of ignorance, whether it's out of pure or even misinformed heart, I just want everybody that's listening to be able to hear that. And as they hear that, just understand those reasons are what they are. Unless you have a conversation with that individual, then you may not know. If you don't go to that particular church, that you hear from your brother or sister out in the street or at work, that they're always asking about money, always asking for money, you really don't know what's going on. So we're not going to bash anybody because we have no idea. This is one of the things I like to say. I can talk about what's going on in my church because I'm there.
Right.
I can only really talk about what's going on in your church based upon what you tell me. And oftentimes, this is what I find in church. The people who are talking about certain things going on in the church really don't go to church that much anyway. They get second and third hand information. So we're not even going to play that game tonight. Because again, we know that this is a very touchy subject for some, because of the nature. Let me tell you, let me just tell you what happened earlier this week. Recently I asked a very spiritual woman of God this question. I said, what comes to mind when you think about giving in church? And I would love to hear, for those of you who are listening right now or following us on Facebook, Possessions by Resources by Finances, go ahead and post that. I already have the question put out there on the Facebook page. But I really want to hear from individuals that's listening to the show. What is it that comes to your mind when you think about giving and the church? I'm not going to tell you what her answer is. I think I'm going to wait a little while, Brother Feaster, before I tell you what her answer is. But from there, and then I'll let you respond if you like, this got me to thinking about how many other spiritual brothers and sisters have the same feeling or live in the same reality based on their experiences as the sister that I was speaking to earlier this week. It also got me thinking about how many people that are no longer fooling with the church. It got me thinking about how many people are no longer fooling with my church, no longer fooling with your church, and are in that same place. It also got me thinking about individuals who don't really have or have never had a personal connection with any church. I think it's a valid question. What comes to mind when you think about giving in the church? What do you say, Brother Feaster? What comes to your mind? And again, all the callers that are listening on the line, press 1, we'll bring you into the conversation, because we really want to hear from you on this important subject. Brother Feaster?
Well, I thank God for my father in the ministry, who he broadened my knowledge and understanding. But before then, and even some of my experience with churches after then, it's mostly talking about money. From my experience, it's mostly talking about money. You can give more. Occasionally when there's a program or there's a ministry or there's something going on, then they'll switch it over to, you know, your time. My father in the ministry, one of the things that he taught me was that there's more than money to give. You know, there's more than money to give. A lot of times, and it goes back to when I was talking about this with one of the ladies at the job, she said a lot of people give money because it's so much easier. It's so much easier to reach in my wallet and give $100, $50, $10 that's easier than giving 10 hours. It's easier than giving, you know, if I sing, giving my talent. You know, because money, I just write a check. Go on about my business. And then I complain about what you do with it. But I give them my money. That's so easy. But I've learned that it's more than that. And if we would look at it from that aspect, we would see that money and talent can be equated to be both equally necessary, or it could be equated to be both equally unnecessary at the particular church, the particular time, or whatever the need is.
Mm,
so
that's good.
That's what I think about. I mean, it goes back to what I've been saying, and I'm trying not to be a parrot about this, but it goes back to that motive. What is the motive behind the reason why we're continually pressing the people to give? I believe as a leader and being in the military and being a leader for over 10 years, I really believe that a leader, a true leader, doesn't always have to press his or her subordinates or workers or whatever you want to call them to do what needs to be done. As a leader, you should set the arena, set the area, set the tone that people will, I mean, you should train them and lead them in such a way that people would take that initiative, go out and do it ahead of time, see the vision, and then come to you about the direction of the vision and the things of the vision. So it goes back to that motive. What is the motive behind the push and the quest for more? I think I've said a lot. I'm going to stop right there for right now.
You always do that. Let me tell you, the sister's answer was money. And it drew me to ask those follow-up questions in my mind, because I think that if that is the first response, as believers, I'm going to just say, I'm speaking to you believers right now. If you are a believer, in that question that was just posed, what comes to mind, to your mind, when you think about giving in the church? If the first answer that comes to your mind is money, it's not a thing of condemnation, but maybe that's just what we who have the titles in front of our names or behind our name of REV and D-Men and all those other titles that we have in the ministerial world, maybe it is us that have planted that seed. Because I can tell you, biblically, God did not say, nowhere in the Bible, and has not placed it nowhere in the Bible where our mindset could even be that giving, when it comes to the church, is only, it should be foremost about money. Brother Feaster, we got a call left on the line, so we're just going to go ahead. I told you, we knew we were going to just go in hard from the beginning. So, caller with the last four of 0155, welcome to the PRF table.
Hi, this is Kiana Feaster.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We are good.
I think when I think about giving, the first thing that comes to my mind is kingdom building. And the mantra that kind of stood in the back of my mind, and I couldn't tell you which church or which ministry this came from, was God wants a tenth of your time and your talent. And so I've always thought of giving as, what can I do to help with kingdom building? And I think focusing on kingdom building gets you out of the realm of only focusing on money. And only focusing on looking at the church as a building, because when I give to the church or give to kingdom building, I'm doing my part. And as long as I'm doing my part, I'm making a difference. And sometimes in me doing my part, other people who may look at a church as, say, a business, or who look to the church as a place for healing, a place of refuge, a place, you know, for sick people to heal, may be encouraged to find other ways to give of themselves besides money. So that's what I think about when I think about giving.
Can I ask you a question, though? How could you communicate kingdom building to somebody who has that mindset that it's really all about giving to the church? It's all about just giving to my church. I don't really have time to give to anything other than my church, because my church is actively involved in building the kingdom, so there's no need for me to give any place outside of the four walls of where I go on Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, or whatever day of the week it is.
I think my approach is to not minimize their contribution because, you know, giving the money, there is value to that, but also adding into it, in addition to that money that you're giving, you have some other talents that could be beneficial as well. And giving to the church does not have to be the stereotype of the person who spends 40 hours a week at church and then all the other time, you know, in the church building at work. I think there's a lot of myths. I think there are a lot of fears. I think there's a lot of just stuff out there that makes people think that they can't give of their time and their talent because the expectation or the thought is it requires a lot. So it's like it's minor things. You can help fold programs. You can get to church a few minutes earlier and help, you know, parishioners who have special needs. There are all kinds of ways you can give to the church and really explaining it to them. Because if you say give to the church, that's a very broad term. And I think sometimes people need to figure out how can I fit into this equation because this is my lifestyle, this is what's going on in my world. So I think explaining is probably the best way to approach it.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. And if you have anything else that you would like to say while you're sitting at the table, you know what to do. You've been here before, right?
All right.
All right. Thank you. Bonifita, I'm glad that she brought that out. I'm glad that she mentioned kingdom building because it has always been my heart that this thing is not about church. It's not about church. It's not about my four walls. It's not about me keeping the lights on. I know those things are important, people. I do. Trust me, I do. But at the same time, you have to be concerned, or we have to be concerned about people. And kingdom building is not about a building. Kingdom building is about people. So let's go back to that question, Brother Feaster. Going back to more of what? You know, I believe this has been said over and over from the heart. I believe it's been said over and over from the Spirit of God that giving is more than money. I think we've established that. At least we have. I think it's been said by you and others in previous shows. And whether nobody else believes it or whether nobody, and this is my personal opinion now, whether nobody believes it, whether nobody wants to hear it, we know that without a shadow of a doubt that what we are sharing, what we're learning, what we're hoping to collectively grow with everybody that listens is nothing but the truth. So this subject of giving, Brother Feaster, is just one of the reasons that I know that God has led me into this ministry of PRF. I say rather than discuss all the reasons why giving continues to be perceived or is communicated or realized that it's all about money, I think what we have here, Brother Feaster, is that God has allowed us to have this dialogue. He's allowed us to have this conversation about what he says or what he said or what he continues to say. And what can we do to transform people's hearts and minds that they are more in line with God's way versus our way?
I really believe that going back to what Kiana said about kingdom building and what you're saying, I'm trying to get all my words and my thoughts together because there's so much I want to say on that. I'm really trying not to monopolize the show, but I really believe that the simple answer is we rely a lot on other people to take care of us. I think what I mean by that, let me dig this a little deeper. When I go to church, I rely on the ushers to find me a seat and to hand me a program. When I get hot, they hand me a fan. Open the door for me. I rely on the choir to sing the song that I like that day with the right person that I want to hear sing it. I rely on the parking lot to find me the right parking space that I want to get to. So if it's too hot, I ain't got to walk too far. If it's too cold, and then Lord knows if it's raining, I don't want to get wet. And especially,
right.
I rely on a pastor, teacher, preacher, whoever is founded on the word of the God. I rely on them to give me what thus says the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with everything that I just said. I truly believe that if we are doing work and those are things, then yes, you know, got it. But the burden of responsibility is on the individual. That's what I'm saying. So if we don't understand about kingdom building, now this is where it gets tricky, and I might even contradict myself, because if I don't know anything about kingdom building and someone starts talking to me about kingdom building, then I have no idea what you're talking about, and I might call you crazy. So me going to research for kingdom building, it might be simple. JR is just crazy, and I'll never research because JR's always been controversial about stuff like that. But the burden of responsibility does not totally lie on the giver, the preacher, the teacher, the pastor, the educator. But the burden of responsibility lies with me. It's with me. If we say that we are called of God, if we say that we are born of God, if we say that we are Christians and living this life and we have been given the Holy Spirit, the burden of responsibility is mine to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because if you're sitting somewhere and listen to somebody and it does not agree with the Holy Spirit that's within you, you will know. You may not abide, you may not listen, but you will know. So that's where the burden comes with me if I don't understand. Now, if I'm totally newbie to kingdom building and understanding about giving, like we're talking about in the church, then granted, now we got to ask God to, you know, we pray the prayer a lot of times. Paul was preaching a revival last night, and he was talking about how a lot of times our prayers become ritualistic. Our prayers become normal, that there is no more life in them. We're doing this just because it's Sunday, it's 11 o'clock, everybody knows I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to be at church. But there's no purpose behind me being at church except for it's 11 o'clock on Sunday and I'm supposed to be at church. You know? So, I think I might have contradicted myself, but what I'm saying is it's twofold. We're spending a lot of time on everybody else and not on us. And that's something that, you know, as I bring this thing to home, that's something that I had to learn. That's something that I had to come to know, that in all my getting, I have to go get the understanding. In all my seeking of knowledge, I have to be the one that you know, weighs it and tests it and verifies it biblically in the Bible. So I think we need to add in the individual's burden of responsibility. And that will help that. Now, the education piece, that part, I'm going to put a lot of that on the leader because it's the leader's responsibility to feed the flock. And if we're talking about nutrition, which is one of the biggest things I'm on right now, there is eating well, and then there is just eating. There is eating just to be eaten, and there's eating to fuel the body. There is eating to read a caloric intake daily account that you're supposed to go, and then there's eating just because I'm sitting at home and ain't nothing else to do. So when we talk about feeding the flock and educating the flock and being a pastor, being a leader, then it's our job to, first of all, give up ourselves, give up our time, give up our talents to stand before God and get what God needs to give to his people. I'm going to stop right there again.
I'll pick it up. You know, one of the things that I heard in what you were saying was about the servant. So when we talk about giving in the church or giving to the church, it takes the servant. Here's what I believe. And again, if you are listening and you have a thought process that is different or you want to challenge me on this, because I don't debate, especially on the Word of God, but you can challenge me on it because you're a different thinker. I am more than open on it. So, does the church allow for discernment with giving? Or is it business as usual?
I like that question, J.R.
Please write it down, brother, because you know I probably can't say it again like I just said it. Does the church, I'm going to try it though. Does the church allow for discernment in giving, or is it business as usual when it comes to giving? I am not criticizing churches. because I know churches do what churches do based upon the leadership, based upon tradition, based upon history, based upon different type of policies. But it kind of saddens me a little bit when the giving hour or the giving time in church lasts probably about 3 minutes, depending on the size of the church. So are they boxing God in to give that individual or those individuals sitting in the pews discernment when it comes to giving? Case in point, was at a church. All of us ministers, we were sitting on the front row. It was one of those annual days. It was a special occasion. The individual who was, quote unquote, lifting up the offering, and I believe, again, I'm not criticizing, I believe he was doing what he had been trained to do. So what he said was, we here to raise money. Y'all heard that. That's, we here to raise money. I'm like, you know me. Everybody know me. It just didn't work too well with me. So he says, I have $20. All y'all pastors, preachers, I need y'all to stand up. Brother Pizza, you know what Brother Dunlap did. I sat down. I didn't get up because I already knew where he was going. Now, I was able to discern that very, very quick. It was quick. What he was going to ask or say was, everybody needs to follow suit. So because he gave $20 to help raise money for the church and for the pastor for this pastor's day, right, if we did it, then that would help everybody else do it.
Right.
Nah, I ain't got time for that. I ain't got time for that. But everybody may not, everybody's spirit may not be quickened that fast. Everybody may not have had teaching on PRF. So what happened? There was a brother that was next to me, another pastor next to me. And this pastor says, he said, I wasn't planning it. He just looked at me, he's like, I wasn't planning on giving $25. I think it was $25. I wasn't planning on giving $25. I said, brother, he said, when I came in the door, I planned on giving 10. I said, brother, you give what you planned in your heart.
Yeah.
He opened his mouth, though. The pastor opened his mouth and had a conversation with me during this time. But how many people did not have a person sitting to the left or to the right of them to be able to say that statement, and at the same time, them being able to say that statement back to them? Give what you purposed in your heart.
Right.
So I'm going to drop the mic in a minute, Brother Peter, I promise. So what is discernment, and what does it mean to discern? If we place discernment in a spiritual context, it's going to be the Spirit of God, or for believers, the Holy Spirit. Discernment, it's a process. It's an act. It's a process of getting keen insight and good judgment. So we have to give individuals the space, we have to give individuals the time to be able to use keen insight and good judgment when it comes to giving. I'm done, Brother Peter. Go ahead.
I've been in that situation all too many times in churches where people will get up and I'm going to give X amount of dollars, and they may not say, you know, I want you to do it, but just them proclaiming it, I mean, to me, it's coercion. It's deception. I was in a conference once, and I'm going to tell you, this conference changed my ministry. It changed my preaching. It changed my life. I learned a lot in that conference. But I learned that there were some things that happened behind the scenes that wasn't quite biblical. That didn't affect the teaching that I received. That just affected my taste with conferences. Not to say I won't go to any, but anyway. There was this one night when the guy was up there preaching, and he was preaching. And his job was to preach on stewardship of money. And he came biblically, and he was sound in doctrine. This was a three-day conference. And the second day, he preached that thing so biblically, so right, that the Spirit of God moved in, and money was flowing. I mean, people were giving of money. I mean, it was a flow, and you knew, you felt the presence of God. I mean, you just, I mean, people were just crying and weeping. So the next night rolled around, and he's preaching. And again, we already know what he's preaching about because that was on the program. It was already known. And later on down the line, this lady halfway through the sermon walks up and put money on the altar. And then a little bit later, another lady put money on the altar. And it was a repeat of the night before. But it wasn't the same feeling. It wasn't the same crying. Well, come to find out, that was staged to get more money. That's where we, as, I don't know if I want to say believers, I don't know if I want to say Christians, I just want to say that's where we as individuals, I'm huge on being violated. And to me, that's violating me. Because now you're not allowing me, like you said, my discernment time. Maybe I don't want to give. Maybe I don't have to give. Maybe I want to give and don't have to give. But either way, it's up to me and God on that decision. If God unctions, there have been times when, matter of fact, I was at this church one time and I didn't know that this particular ministry was there. I had $20 in my pocket, and I had plans for that $20. But as the man got up there and he talked about his ministry and he talked about his need, and then he had some representatives up there to talk about it, as he got up there to talking, that $20 got lighter and lighter, and I felt the urge to give it. And then the pastor said, this entire offering today is going to this ministry. We're not worried about the requirements of the church. This money, everything that's taken up, 100% of the money taken up is going to this ministry. That's the kind of stuff I want to – that's what I'm listening for. I want to hear, do we believe God? Because if God is who he say he is, and that's his church, it's going to run. It's going to do what it came to do. It's going to fulfill the vision and the purpose that God has laid on that church. And I don't have to worry about no chicken dinners. I don't have to worry about no men's day, no women's day, no usher day. I don't have to worry about any of that if it's God's house. And that's – I'm trying not to get too excited, but a lot of times we're misleading the people, and we're talking about giving in the church, and I was hoping we weren't going to do this, but we're spending more time talking about giving up money in the church when you got so many other needs in the church, and everybody's throwing money places, and we're still in need. We're still in need of somebody to be praying 24 hours a day. We're still in need of somebody to come in and just pick up a trash in the parking lot. We're still in need of somebody to come in and give a good word to that person that's coming in every Sunday and look like they beat down and depressed. We're still in need of all that stuff that money can't buy. But, yeah, we're busy trying to raise up some money. We're busy telling people, give us more money. What about the other needs? What about those people that come in and they just want you to acknowledge that they're alive? I'm kind of got worked up. But that's my thing. We're too worried about money. Those presidents are dead. They can't do nothing else for us. It's a living church. God wants your time. God wants your talents. God wants your treasure. But like J.R. was talking about earlier, God wants your will. When are we going to talk about that part of giving? When we're going to talk about giving up who you are, giving up your lifestyle, giving up your I'm done. JR is yours. I'm taking a break.
Okay, well, we're going to let this caller that has been waiting so patiently on the line. Caller with the last four, 2023, welcome to the PRF table.
Hello. I'm laughing because Brother Feaster was all in what I was about to say. But I'm definitely in full agreement with what he said. When you give to the church, it shouldn't be about monetary giving. It should be about giving of yourself and making yourself available to God and to the Lord so that he can direct you to do what needs to be done. It's not necessarily, like he said, a financial giving, because that individual that walks in that is so downtrodden, may need a hug, something as simple as a hug. But if you make yourself available to the Lord and to his will, he will give you discernment so you know not to give to the gimmicks. He will give you discernment so that if somebody walks in and they may need a monetary blessing, that you will be sure in your heart that that's God talking to you, and you can give the monetary blessing when it's necessary. If you make yourself available to the Lord, the bathrooms in the church won't need to be clean because you'll hear his voice and you'll do it. You'll anticipate that need. If the parking lots need to be swept, the trash needs to be taken out, whatever it is. But your giving should be of yourself and making yourself available to the Lord. And that's all I had to say.
Well, we thank you so much. Brother Feaster, you got them stirred up this evening. I am in total agreement with both of you. You know, I think in order to deal with this subject, in order to unpeel the onion, so to speak, I think that you really have to be at a point where you're willing to take a step back, take a look at what is actually going on. What is actually going on? What is it that you actually see? And this is what y'all are seeing. What y'all are talking about is what you're seeing. What you're talking about is what you're experiencing. It is valuable. It's valuable because there's a lot of other people that see it. There's a lot of other people that experience it. And as they experience it, I don't think they know what to do. I think they don't know what to do because they're in a certain place. They've been in a certain place for so long. But we're setting the stage. We're setting the stage. I think, Brother Feaster, if we go back and look at Romans 12, because as we approach this subject of giving, from what may be a limited scope to some and also to people that are in the church, we know this, it's going to require some transformation of the mind. It's going to require some transformation of the heart. So when you look at Romans, Brother Feaster, this is what I hear. I hear this scripture, Romans 12 and 2, quoted so much by brothers and sisters. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So your answer is already laying there for you, Brother Feaster, in the scripture. But we never hear about too much. We never hear a focus. I don't. Maybe you do, but I don't hear a focus about verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. So, Brother Feaster, you're dead on the money. I don't know what else I can say, but I think it just requires us dealing with the transformation of the mind. You talked about accountability for the individual, right? So as you talked about accountability for the individual, the only person that can renew their own mind is them. Of course, it is also with God, and he is the only person that can change, but we have to be willing, W-I-L-L, willing to do something. But if we don't see that there is a need to be transformed, then we, you, they, him, she, will continue to do the same thing. It will be one of those things where the church needs to be cleaned, but you already have a janitor who's going to come after service. So why am I going to pick up something right after service because I know you're going to have a janitor come in on Monday morning? I say this not to be condemning to anyone. I say it because as the individuals within the pews grab a hold of what we're saying, grab a hold to what the Spirit of God is saying right now to the church in regards to this, then it's going to take a little pressure off of the pastors and off of the leaders and off of the ministers because for whatever reason, it is being placed on those individuals that they're supposed to do it. Like, it's their responsibility. They're supposed to make sure that these things are done.
Right.
Well, that is to a certain degree. Yes, the pastor of the church should be in a position of making sure that the house of God is in a acceptable state.
Mm-hmm.
But now, Lord, you're going to say that to the pastor who's getting up at 5 o'clock to go and visit the hospital because back to back to back there are some individuals who are having surgery early in the morning? No. A lot of it has to do with us. So I think if we grab a hold to that particular scripture, I think we'll have a lot more success. So, Brother Feaster, what we're going to do, we're going to take just a quick break. Hold that thought. I know you got something inside of your mind, inside of your spirit. And we're going to let everybody just to marinate on what's been said so far. And think about some of the questions, again, that we've been asking. You know, what is it when you think about money? Think about what that scripture means to you as you just heard it, or does it mean a little bit something different? We love to continue to hear from you. Thank you, all the callers who have called in, and we'll be back in a few minutes. God bless. All right, welcome back to the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Brother Feaster, go ahead. I know you had something on your mind, sir.
I done calmed down, and actually, I think I done forgot it. I'll tell you, I'm in a place right now where, and I done calmed down a good bit, and I'm trying to stay calm. I ain't even trying to stay calm, to tell you the truth, because I'm passionate about this. I really believe that the church right now is misrepresenting the purpose of the church and God himself because of some of the things that we're doing. So you asked the question early in the show about, you know, how have some of the things that we've done kept people away from the church. And if you look at the state of society right now, the United States, like I said, I run on one of the so-called worst streets. I run a mile on one of the so-called worst streets in this city. And in that mile, I counted again last time I ran, there are 10 churches. There are 10 churches on that one mile strip that I run on. If we have so many churches that are popping up everywhere, why do we have so few Christians? Why is there less of a change? Why is there less of the presence of the power of God if we have more places where we say that God abides? And it's because of, granted, now, one of the problems with the church, and we will never fix this until we cross that river and find ourselves in the throne room in front of him who we say he is. But one of the problems is broken people make up a church. When I first come to church, I'm coming in knowing what I know, and until I'm educated, until I'm taught, and until I accept the newness of righteousness that I do not understand and do not know, the newness of holiness, then I'm going to continue to come in and be who I am. If I was a liar before I came to church and I don't know that, you know, how not to lie in God's will and with the power of the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to continue to lie after I come back into church. If I was a fornicator before I came into church and I still don't understand, and I haven't received the Holy Spirit and paid attention to his knowledge, then I'm still going to fornicate when I come into church. So during that process of time, we are being hurt by hurt people. And that leaves bad taste in our mouth. Well, that's when we as individuals have to trust God and believe God during all that process and allow God to minister and lead us in the right direction. And so a lot of times when we get up there and we do these things and we mislead the people, we're misrepresenting God. And I am so glad that no matter how much we misrepresent God, God can be true and will be true and is true to who he is. so that when we're slapped in the face with reality of who God is, we can always look back over the span of time and see and say that God has always been consistent in who and what he is. That's where I'm at right now with this giving and giving to the church. You know, we're so focused on one area of giving when there's so much more. The education piece has to come. We have to seek that education piece. You say it all the time when we first started. We have to have the courage to care. We have to have the courage to change. We are people that really don't like changing. So we have to have that courage to change. When the brother turned to you and said, I only felt like giving $10, he had to have that courage to change. He had to have that courage to go against the current. We applaud Trouts because they push their way miles and miles and miles in the opposite direction of the current to go and do what they were supposed to do, to carry on the lineage of and the traits and the characteristics of the Trout. And we should be the same way. We should be pushing against the current of this world and allowing the world not to dictate what we do, but to see us and dictate what they do. It shouldn't be an easy street every time you walk around and you run into a Christian. There should be a change. There should be a difference. I think I done got off subject. I'm sorry. That's just where I am. We're talking about giving. Let's give more than money. Let's give up that sacrifice, that ourselves. Jesus came, the Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That should be our motive and our principle for giving, that God gave all that he had to do all that he needed done. So that cliche you said earlier, if I had more, I'd give more. Well, Jesus was all that God had, and there was nothing else left for God to give but his only begotten son. So what if he had said, now thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. What if Jesus had said, if I had more, I'd give more? I'd be in a worse state than I am now. I'm taking another drink of water. I'm done. I might be done for the night, y'all, because I done got worked up.
It comes out as it comes out. It comes out when it comes out. This is one of the things that I was thinking about as you were talking, Brother Feaster. You know, you're speaking, it sounds like you're speaking from a place where, well, you're speaking from a place for yourself, but you're also speaking from a place of others. And you notice that I haven't said anything to you about the we, because I'm sensing that it's hard for us to pull ourselves out of it because we are so far already into it. Because there are so many people that are going through not wanting to fool with the church, have left the church, one foot in the door and one foot out of the door. We have to do all that we can do, and this is one of the things that we're able to do, is to open up the space for people to be able to come and share and communicate, and also for us to be able to learn from each other as we communicate with one another. So this conversation about giving, again, purposeful giving in the church, it starts with having these type of conversations. It's not something that's going to be that we're going to get, excuse me, on a Sunday morning and think that people are going to just get it. I really don't see how it happens like that. I don't know a congregation that is that mature that you can just give one message and they just get it, especially when they've been doing it a certain way all their life. Let me bring out this before we get ready to shut it down this evening. I think we've said a lot. I mentioned last week about Exodus 25. In Exodus 25, what it said was, the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me. That's key all in itself. The offering is for God. It says, for me, from each man whose heart prompts him to give. That goes back to what you said and what so many of you said last week about motive. Motive was a central theme in purposeful giving last week. God, through his servant Moses, he asked the people to give. He didn't beg them. He just asked them. When you keep reading, you'll see what God and Moses asked the people to give. And it had not only to do with money, but it had to do with their resources and it had to do with their possessions. And that's the scripture or the passage of text of Exodus 35 that I'm really trying to get you in your own time to go and look at it. Give of their possessions and give of their resources. So when, as you said earlier, Brother Feaster, as we go to the book of Acts, it wasn't about them giving money. They sold their possessions. And as they sold their possessions, they got money. And they brought that money, and that money was given. I think it's kind of twisted. I think what church has is bring the money, not sell the possessions and bring the money so the money can be given, is bring the money so we can operate and maintain the church.
Right.
That's the sad part. That's the part that I believe there has to be a transformation. And I think we're going to get into it a little bit next week, Brother Feaster, and I hope that there's some pastors that would love to talk, because here's one thing that I am sensitive to and I understand. If you have a $5,000 per month mortgage note on your church, everybody giving of their time may not pay that mortgage note. That's a fair statement, right?
Right.
That may not get the mortgage paid. Building will be spotless, but it may not get the mortgage paid. It may not pay the light bill. But there has to be a godly way to discern and to make that work for both sides. Because if we're constantly giving to the church, but then you look at Acts and see that there's people who have need in the church, and the church is not giving that money to the people who have need within their own four walls, how in the hell do you believe, or can I believe, that we're going to give that money to the person outside of the church that needs some help? Ain't going to happen. Doesn't happen. And I said that with all due respect. Again, not to condemn anybody for how you're doing, for how we're doing, but just so we can understand the severity of it. If we want to do things from a biblical way, we got to go back and look at what the Bible says about doing it. God nor Moses in Exodus asked twice. How someone, including God, had to ask for something, this is what I tell people in this class of giving with PRF, how someone, including God, has to ask for something, I'm talking about like begging or asking over and over and over, it often gives you an indicator of where the heart is.
Right.
Don't misunderstand me. If someone asks you for something twice, that doesn't mean that your heart is not in it. Sometimes people don't give in the right way or at the right time because they haven't reached that level of Christian maturity of how God says to give. Look at what we're talking about right now. So ain't no way in the world all of the members in all of our churches have a clear understanding or a good understanding or the best understanding or a godly understanding about how to give. From all that we're hearing, from the callers, from all that we're seeing on the Facebook page and everywhere else, or maybe they haven't been taught how to give God's way. Maybe that's it. Regardless of what is going on, there's something that we have to do. Again, I say unapologetically, if you do not have a financial ministry going on inside of your church, you're going to have a church that has some serious issues. Because when somebody needs something, if you don't have something that's already in place or you're not working to have something in place, when somebody comes and they have a need, what's going to happen? You're reacting versus responding.
Yep.
God wants us to be proactive. Let me say this last thing, Brother Feaster, and then I think I may be done for the night, just like you just said. I remember a situation one time where there was a church member that had a need. They needed an electric bill paid, and they needed this electric bill paid month after month after month after month. So then when the church gets together and has their business meetings, one member had the courage to care and ask the question, if this member needs this every single month, what's wrong?
Right.
Why does this member need to come every month to get their light bill paid? And here's what was discerning to the person that happened to be inside of this meeting. The discouraging part of this whole thing was the people in the church were fussing over giving that money to the person who needed it. Let me take it one step further. This was also a person who was a faithful tither in the church. It's hard to separate the principles of tithing from the principles of giving. They go hand in hand on a lot of different principles. So here's what this person said. Why don't y'all find out why this person needs $150 every single month to pay their light bill so that y'all can do something about whatever the problem is? Let me tell you what the issue is. The issue was, this particular church member had a son who was on crack. So what the son was doing was getting the check every month because they were taking care of their parents' bills. So they would go and spend money on crack and whatever else and then say, this is all that you have left. So the parent probably already, let's be real, the parent knew the son was on crack, but that's all they had. So here's what my thought process was when I heard it. Why don't all of y'all menfolk go handle that situation? Can we not say something, or can they not say something to this crackhead son? How about this? How about you have the church, have the check come to the church where you know the money is going to be spent the correct way? If he is blowing $150 a month on crack, to allow that check to continue to come to the house, knowing that he's going to take care of it, meaning the son who was on crack, come on, man. Really? You said it, Brother Feaster, and I thank God that you brought it back up because it's something I'm probably going to mention every show from now until Jesus comes. You have to have the courage enough to care. How do you look at that woman or that man who says that their son, or they know that the son is on crack and is wasting their money? How do you say to them, no, when you're not willing to take a step forward to help change that situation? Let me tell you where the renewing of the mind can come in at. The renewing of the mind can come for a lot of people when it comes to giving. It's not my business. Yes, it is your business. It is your business. Because it can't become your business when it happens to you. It can't become your business only when it starts happening to me, whatever the this is or the that is. So in the big scheme of things, as these things are affecting everybody, they're affecting our church. Somebody outside of the church that doesn't go to the church is affecting somebody who is faithful to the church. And the person who is faithful to the church, the person who is giving to God how they've been taught they need to give the tithe to God, which was by tithes and offerings, is having problems financially. So when I say if your church does not have or is not working towards having a financial ministry, there's problems down the road waiting to happen. Matter of fact, there's probably a whole bunch of problems that's going on right now, right up under your nose. In order for that to happen, though, because when you start dealing with finance, I can tell you, I know it from teaching this for so many years. When people are having financial problems, the space has to be safe. That means now we start talking about another question. Is your church safe enough to even have a financial ministry where people can come and be honest about their financial situation? I think I'm done. I heard you echoing some of the things in the background, so I'm gonna let you go ahead and get your last comments and let somebody else's is on the line or wants to chime in as we close it down for the night, because we're just talking about purposeful giving in the church. And there's so many aspects to it, Brother Feaster, that we just have to do what we know God has called us to do, and that's to talk about it.
I'm sitting there listening to you, and so much stuff was going through my head and through my mind, and so many things I want to say. And the one thing that I out of everything you said, I just want to say, talk about one thing. When you said that if we don't have a need, a place to care for the needs of the people, what do we do when they come? The simple answer is they stop coming. I get upset. And this is me. I'm being me right now. I get upset when I hear people get upset because the churches have you fill out an application or have you sit down and talk to a counselor prior to giving you money. The reason why I get upset with that is because you don't have a problem doing that when you go sit before budget counseling or these one quick check cash and loans places. You don't have a problem sitting down talking to them. But you got a problem at the church. You know, I think that the church is obligated to be good stewards of that which they're steward over.
Mm-hmm.
So it is my responsibility to ensure, like you said, and I like the situation that you said. Month after month, the same person is coming to pay the same bill. You know, I am obligated now, once I know that, I'm obligated now to do something about that. And if I don't do anything about it, I am no longer the church. I am no longer representing who Christ is. Because once Christ saw the need, he could not walk away. The Bible says numerous amounts of time in the New Testament, and Jesus was filled with compassion. And he didn't just get filled with compassion, but there he continued on and did something about it. When he fed the 5,000 in the wilderness, he was filled with compassion because they had journeyed for so long, for so far, and he saw that they were hungry. And he had compassion. And he knew that he had to feed them, or the people had to be fed. He told Philip, he told his disciples, we can't send them back in town because then they're going to be even more weary. Some may not make it. We have to find a way to fill the need now. So once we understand these things, once we notice things, we have to do something about it. Like you said, we have to have the courage to care. We have to have the courage to change. We have to have the courage to step out and do something different. That's why I don't like that phrase, if I had more, I'd do more. You already proven that you're not being a good steward of what you have, if that's your statement. And that's what we're talking about with giving right there. That's what we're talking about. And so what we've done is, instead of pulling people in, this is what I'm talking about when I say we're not representing Christ well, we're not representing God well, we're not doing a good job of representing the church, because instead of pulling the people in as God has called and commissioned us to do, we're pushing them away. So when we talk about giving, let's look so far, especially in the church, let's look so far past money that we've now, and J.R., I'm glad you brought that up, when you said the mortgage at the church has to be paid. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't express that. There is a need for money. So I'm not saying don't give money. I am not saying that. But what I am saying, if money is all that you're giving, you're selling yourself short, because there's so much more that you can give. There's so much more that you can give. So much more. There was a time, and this is my last story, and I'm done, JR. There was a time when I didn't have money to pay for gas. And I knew that I had just enough gas to go from week to week. That's the only money I had for gas. If I did anything different outside of going to work, going home, going to church, going back home, I was going to run out of money for gas for the month. But if anybody asked me to come pick them up and take them to church, I said, Lord, I know you're going to make a way for me to go to pick up somebody to take them to church. And never, not one time when I didn't have money for gas and I went to go pick up somebody that I ran out of gas. Not one time. I didn't give up any money. I gave up my time. I gave up my car. And I gave up gas that I could not even afford. And here I am today, and I'm not bragging by no means, but here I am today, and my wife gets on me all the time because I don't even look at prices anymore. Back there was a time when I looked at prices. I was worried about, but now I'm at a point where I believe that God has said, thank you, well done, thy good and thy good and faithful servant. You can have some reward. I don't look at prices. There have been times I walk away from the gas tank and push no, I don't want a receipt and said, how much did I just spend on gas? I think we need to get past the money and give of ourselves. I thank you all for listening tonight. I thank you all for listening to my rant. I thank you all for listening to my rave. I pray that it touched the heart, the very soul of everyone that was listening. And from this day forth, from this moment forth, that we would want to have the courage to change, the courage to challenge, the courage to be like the child and go against the grain, go against the way things are going, and find out what thus says the Lord. Good night. God bless you. I love you all.
The power of prayer. Every time I call him, he will be right back. Yeah, may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. So tell me what you're waiting on. Why don't you give prayer a try? Afraid, no, you can have.